Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Oh, we just glazed right by that one. We missed what was a pretty tense 11 minutes for New York Knicks fans tonight. That's right. Jalen Brunson at 10:27 Eastern time tweeted, "I am genuinely confused." Jalen Brunson from the Knicks at 10:27 Eastern Standard tweeted, "I am genuinely confused." And Knicks fans got into a tizzy. What does this mean? Do we have a coach? Did he just find out about Tibbs? What is going on? Because this is the age we live in. We've got such instant access to these players and our stars. If they're talking weird about the Memphis Grizzlies on ESPN in the morning, an hour later, Ja Morant is going to say, "I'm not going anywhere. Talk about the finals." Instant access. The other day, Kevin Durant was basically searching his name, looking to engage in discussions about how people felt about him. And he got called out for that, and he said, "Yeah, what's the big deal? That's what I'm doing." At 10:38 p.m. Eastern Standard, Jalen Brunson cleared up any confusion by saying, "Damn, my bad, y'all. I was talking about Love Island." So everyone can relax. He was just talking about the show that has aired 211 episodes. I mean, I hear about it in passing, but I didn't realize that this was this big of a deal. It was on CBS for a few seasons before moving over to Peacock, a part of the NBC Universal family. So, Knicks fans, it's all right. Jalen Brunson just talking about Love Island. There was a story out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that had some people riled up about words that were spoken. And it was Ed Policy. Ed Policy is going to be the new team president of the Green Bay Packers. Mark Murphy has to retire because there is an age limit. At the age of 70, you have to step down as president. Join us for hour five for further commentary on that. But Ed Policy is going to take over. He's 54. If the name sounds familiar, he's the son of former Niners and Browns president Carmen Policy. He talked about his goals. He said, "Our goals in Green Bay are to win football games, number one, keep the Packers in Green Bay, number two, and to strengthen our community, number three." And so Packers fans are like, "What? Keep the Packers in Green Bay? Was there ever any issue of the Packers leaving Green Bay?" The Packers are one of these early teams that got formed in the 1910s. And for most of the 20th century, these teams that existed, even in pro sports, like the teams, the owners of these teams, it was side hustles. Some of these baseball clubs were run by tavern owners, sometimes newspaper editors. A lot of these teams lost money, but all these teams were like an extension of their community, and it was community pride, and, you know, it's 1927. the local nine, that's a big deal. And the Packers, and I will give love to George Halas in this situation, as he was very instrumental in keeping the Packers in Green Bay. He realized the importance and the specialness of that with the rival Chicago Bears, and would often, with Curly Lambeau, talk to city council and whatever he had to do. But Green Bay's way to stay in Green Bay was shares, stock shares, of which I have one, of which I am one of 538,967 for a combined 5,204,625 shares. There's actually a clause in there that no individual can own more than 200,000 shares to not try to have a coup or a takeover. So when this guy says keep the Packers in Green Bay, everyone's like, what the hell? And with this model, the Packers cannot move out of Green Bay. But that does not mean... that does not 100% guarantee mean that the NFL will always have the Packers. It's not absolute. It seems absolute. But we're starting to get in an era. I shouldn't say starting to. But what I think is going to happen is there's going to be an escalation of the era where the money becomes more fierce than ever, and the controlling forces behind that money. And this would be something, you know, 1,000 years down the road. But there could be a scenario where so much money gets pumped in, and then there's private equity, and there's a lot of private equity firms coming in, trying to take over collegiate programs, conferences, buying shares of different sports teams. Who's to say at one point the NFL doesn't look at the Packers like some of these power conferences might look at their lesser teams and say, high tide lift all boats, but you're the weakest link here. You're the weakest link. Because I do think the next wave of conference realignment, like the next big wave, is going to be some of these conferences jettisoning these schools that they no longer need. Like Vanderbilt, you could talk big about you're the SEC, but come on. We're doing the heavy lifting here. Rutgers, we needed you at one point to get in the New York market, but Big Ten's already outgrown you. We're on the West Coast now. So that, I think, could be coming, and that's just going to all be driven by money. Because for the longest time, or for at least the first 40, 50 years of pro sports, these owners, it was like the Packers are the Acme Packers. They were. It was a Acme packing company. It was a meat packing plant. That's what Packer means. I mean, no one's going to name their team the Packers. What a weird name. The Packers. What the hell does that even mean? Oh, they're guys that literally packed meat. The Acme Packers. Television was the big first domino of this. As football, latching on with ABC, inventing revenue sharing, which then gave a portion of the money generated by broadcasting games across all of a league's teams. Other leagues would then follow suit. Contracts got bigger and bigger. Some of the great reshufflings of the TV landscape are because of professional sports. The only reason that Fox got as big as it did is because, I don't know if people remember what the Fox, not Fox News or Fox Sports, but Fox. Fox, your local Fox affiliate. It was a nothing channel. It had like 8 hours of programming a week. The Simpsons, Married with Children, and Herman's Head. And then all of a sudden, they had a bunch of money, and they're like, we want the NFL. And suddenly, people are like, oh, no, where the hell is this channel? And it redistributed local news, and it redistributed everything about broadcast television because of the NFL. Monday Night Football, the Pete Rozelle idea, that changed the game in the NFL to get it a primetime spot that everybody would be watching one game together. And now we've seen what that's turned into. When I talk about college football, rarely do I talk about the SEC and the Big Ten. I talk about the ESPN conference and the Fox conference, because that's what it's become. So I bring all this up because as the money that is getting pumped into sports is starting to get more and more extreme, and eventually there might be like a come down, but I don't think we're there yet. These places then need to figure out how to recoup the money. There was a guy who just wrote an article for the New York Times, Jun Lee, who is a Red Sox fan. And he says, if I want to watch all the sports, I want to watch all the sports. YouTube TV, MLB.TV, NBA League Pass, NFL Sunday Ticket, Peacock, Apple TV Plus, Max, Amazon Prime, and Paramount. That will come out to $2,634 a year. And then as a Red Sox fan, that doesn't include some of the regional fees that he needs to then fork over to watch the baseball, to watch all of the baseball. This is what he figured out. In 2004, because a lot of it's changed, not just the TV prices, but in 2004, a hardcore Boston fan, as he's a Red Sox fan, to follow their favorite team, which included TV access for the whole year, maybe a few games of tickets, and a hat and a t-shirt. The fan, to follow their team, like hardcore, like I'm going to a couple games, I'm buying a few different things, that's going to cost you about $1,300 back in 2004. You're factoring in the TV, you're factoring in merchandise, you go to a couple games. Today, what would have cost you $1,300 in 2004 for the same experiences now cost you $4,785, a percentage jump of 262. Sports is becoming paywalled. To watch all of your favorite teams, if you want to watch every game, you have to pay up access that you did not used to have to pay. And there's been complaints about that. And a lot of times, you know, I've said, look, I know it sucks. I will cut food. I will not have coffee. You know, it's only one cup of coffee a day. I will find other things to cut before I cut the cable package that allows me to watch the Milwaukee Brewers and Milwaukee Bucks in my house. I will cut other things. When Peacock has a football game and everyone gets mad, I'm like, you know, it's $6 for the month. You get more entertainment. And a lot of times people are like, oh, I'll just go watch it at the bar, which never makes sense to me because then you're dropping $150. But it's getting paywalled and it's just getting more expensive. Basically, the product is not changing. It's costing you more money to enjoy the product at the ballpark, in your house, and maybe even at the bar. So to go back to where this all started with the Packers and that communal aspect of let's have a stock sale and keep the city engaged in an NFL team, or, yeah, I'm just a tavern owner, but I've got this club and this is our communal thing. I'm going to lose money, but I'll lose money on that. Maybe get money somewhere else. This is just something that we need to have. The communal aspect of sports is something that I hope does not get paywalled. And I felt it a little bit. I talked to buddies about different Brewer games, and they say, you know what, I don't have it. I've got this service. They took it away. It shouldn't be up to me to go chase all of these games. If I've had it in the past, why do I now have to go chase all these games? The NFL, they agreed on TV packages, and then they've found ways to somehow carve out more TV packages to sell. They still have it where one of your local affiliates will pick it up over the air, but that's just in the home team market. There's some people, you might live in the same state. You could be a Bears fan. You could live in Southern Illinois. You're technically not in the Chicago market. And if you don't get a Chicago TV station, the game's on Amazon or ESPN Plus or wherever, you're not going to get the game. You can live in Iowa, subscribe to MLB TV, and not get any of the games from the teams that border your state for some reason. Makes very little sense. The product should be easily digested by the consumer. Sports is seemingly going the other way, which you're going to pay more to do it, which some people will. But as in the case with anything, some people will, and some people find a way, and some people don't have a problem with it. But then what happens to everybody else? They get left behind. You sports. Well, I got to pay this for that and this for this, and you get left behind. And now that's going to happen with your favorite baseball. You can't just turn on TV and watch your favorite baseball team. So as these bigger private equity firms get in, that is a concern that the one last thing that we have that I feel is communal, where you can watch something and you know there's 15 million other people watching it. And it's even fleeting. With some sports, it's not every sport. I mean, these NBA games are getting 10 million, but at least there's you still feel like you're a part of it. We used to all sit down at the same time every week and watch the same sitcom and then the same sitcom and then the same drama. 30 million people used to do that every night. Hey, did you watch NYPD Blue last night? As a matter of fact, I did. I mean, it was on. Sports is still that last communal thing. But are we entering a new era where that's going to get taken away? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Call or Fold is next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Call or Fold.
Like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! Call or Fold every Tuesday for now until September. So you got the summer to enjoy this usual spot. Here on the Bart Winkler Show and Infinity Sports Network, wherever you're hearing us, that's the place to be. Whether it's on SiriusXM Channel 375, your local affiliates, or the free Odyssey app where you can search the Bart Winkler Show. And I have done all the work for you to make it easy. You literally just search Bart Winkler Show, boom, podcast shows up. That easy, including this segment. Call or Fold is essentially buy or sell, but much more casino-themed and jazzier. Bart, we will start with the Panthers. They are once again your Stanley Cup champions. Now, I'm going to spare you the agony of breaking down the series. But you opened the show with the NBA rankings and why it shouldn't matter, so I wanted to dig into that with hockey a little bit. I bring this kind of Call or Fold up a little bit because I think in my friend group, I am the only one that watches hockey. And I'm more of a Rangers fan than I am a hockey fan, but I am getting into hockey, the sport, more in general. So I ask you, as also someone who is just a fan of sports in general, not so much a hockey nut, call or fold, this NHL playoffs did a good job attracting casual fans.
I'll call that.
Cold.
I mean, it was a good Stanley Cup playoff, right? We had some good series. Are you asking me for my favorite series off the top of my head?
No, just the postseason in general. Like, I mean, do you have a favorite series? I'd be impressed.
Oh, I mean, who can forget the Jets and the Blues in round one?
It's funny because
game classic.
I was thinking about the Jets and the Stars, so it's funny we both went to the West.
I just looked wherever my eyes would take me on this bracket I'm looking at. I do think one issue is, I can't have this take. I cannot have this take because of everything I've said about the NBA. So I can't have it. But if I were to have it, I would say, I don't think people like getting into the Florida teams, man. Or like any of the Southern hockey teams. Does that make sense? It's like Florida. The last six Stanley Cups have been played in Florida?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Wild.
Yeah. Canada hasn't won since 93. We need a Canadian team to win. We need all of Canada to be behind it. I know that might be tough with the rivalries. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was a rematch of a seven-game series. It's got stars in it. I think a big issue, and I think a real bigger issue, is these games are on cable. And I think TNT did a really good job, but it's still cable. These games need to be on broadcast television. The ratings get cut in half in America when they're not.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more people that have those networks in their house. And that the key to that is they might only have like five channels, or there's some digital channels, you know, you have 15, but you're looking around, it's either Andy Griffith, Rawhide, or, oh, Stanley Cup, I'll watch this, I can get into this. If you've got cable, you're probably watching the news, I mean, or some rerun or some movie. Like, it's the cable part. Sports needs to be on broadcast.
Yeah, I'm
at
sorry.
Least the championship games.
For sure, because I agree with you what you're talking about. Like, sports has just become a one giant paywall. It's the reason why newspaper outlets are pretty much dead. I click on an article for the Times. Oh, subscribe here. I just want to know about congestion pricing. I don't want to fork over $4
I don't know. I don't know what papers were supposed to do. That because they could have started giving it to you for free, but then you would have never paid. But the news, you just go to the stuff that's for free. And what's for free? Social media. I got another fun stat for you. 22% of Americans get their news, their main news, from social media. 48% of people. No, oh my Lord. 54% of people get their social media news. News podcasts are
terrible.
15%. Radio's 13. Yikes. Print news is 14. 7% of people say the main place they get their news is AI.
What?
Like they type in Siri or Google or Grok or ChatGPT for a news story. Oh, no.
That's awful.
Anyway, call.
Call, fine, sure. Let's go to a very physical game in the Indiana Fever versus the Connecticut Sun. Caitlin Clark had 20 points, 6 assists, 4 three-pointers. Fever beat the Sun 88-71, but this was marred with a bunch of technical fouls and a bunch of ejections. in the third quarter, J.C. Sheldon, she poked Clark in the eye, and then Marina Mabry came and, like, shoved Caitlin Clark to the floor, like, right after that. It was a very odd sequence where it just seems like no matter what where Clark is on the court, she's going to get beamed by somebody. It was very weird to watch. There has not been a player to come into the WNBA as anticipated by fans and polarized by players as much as Caitlin Clark. So call or fold, Caitlin Clark is getting worse treatment than Michael Jordan and the Jordan rules.
Wow. She's getting worse treatment?
Yeah, all right. So those who you're not familiar, the Jordan rules were basically this kind of unofficial. Well,
Jordan got the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but Jordan was getting slammed any time that he was driving in. You saw dudes close tackling him, like clotheslining him, or back shoulder drops. Like, Jordan was getting beat up. I think Clark is getting it worse, but I ask you, who's getting the worst treatment?
I'm going to call because... Because I still feel like, and I apologize, you can't have a WNBA take unless you watch every game and go to at least 10 in a season. But there still seems to this outsider that there's players in the league that wish she wasn't in the league. And so they're gonna treat her a certain way. The league's better off with her in it. And it's better when there's these rivalries that emerge. There's a little scuffle tonight in this game. That's going to be shown. You're going to see that. The Chicago Sky and Indiana Fever, that's much must-watch TV, regardless of WNBA or not. Ratings were down 22% when she was hurt for 2 weeks. I mean, what are you going to do? So... what do I like to say? I just said it last segment. High tide lifts all boats. So, yeah, call.
Side note to this one. I don't know how true this is, but I did see it across my timeline. Angel Reese had trademarked the term me bounds.
Well, people were making fun of her for
rightfully
always.
So.
So then she beat the trolls by trademarking the term me bounds.
It's genius, by the way. I do applaud.
Yeah,
her.
She. I mean, good on her.
Yeah, get you turn the hate into some extra money. Now, I will say this though, to kind of just move on seamlessly here. There is no Angel Reese Caitlin Clark rivalry. Angel Reese is not near the stratosphere of Caitlin Clark right now. All right, let's go to Olympic 100 meter champion Noah Lyles. He canceled the much anticipated showdown, I guess, with Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill due to, quote, personal reasons. Now, Tyreek had challenged Lyles last year after Lyles had won 100 meters at the Paris Games to a 50-yard race. Now, Lyles said that the plans were to hold a race against Tyreek Hill this weekend in New York in Times Square, which is the most cliche place to do anything. It's a tourist trap, people. If you're coming to New York, don't do it. Times Square, there's nothing there but bumped and trash. But supposedly, even though it's not happening this weekend, it's going to happen at some point. Call or fold. This race is the equivalent of Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, and nobody should care. Logan Paul. I went over to Paul's, where the hell it was.
I can call that, but I also will fold. I don't think it does happen. I think he's ducking. Now, I don't know. I don't want to say that, and then it's something really bad.
Yeah,
but there's got to be
personal reasons. Quote, that's the thing that bothers me.
Well, Lyles said, unfortunately, there were some things, complications, personal reasons that it didn't come to pass. But we were full on big event. It was going to be a lot of fun. I'd like a quick reschedule. It just seemed like this was a thing that, I'm going to beat you up at the playground. No, I'm going to beat you up. No. 3:15 bike racks, and then neither of you show. That's what it felt like was going down. I'm sure they don't mind in Dolphins camp that Tyreek's not doing this either.
For sure.
Probably. But I don't think it ever happens.
Can you imagine a meeting with Tyreek and Mike McDaniel? Mike McDaniel trying to be the voice of reason?
Mm.
That'd be funny. Let's go to Rafael Devers. Obviously, he's been the story because this is probably one of the more stunning trades in baseball, I'd say, in the last 5 years or so. I can't think of a trade that really like made me scratch my head. Essentially, it's a pure salary dump by Boston. Devers was unhappy with the lack of communication or poor communication from Boston in the team's pursuit of getting Alex Bregman to play third base, which is Devers' natural position. Team asked Devers to be their designated hitter. And then when injuries occurred to Tristan Cass, I can't remember his last name, but they wanted him to play first base. And Devers was just like, come on, bro, what are we doing? Now that Devers is going to be a San Francisco Giant, he is amenable to all positions, saying, hey, I'll play wherever you want me, coach. Just put me in the game. Which is a complete 180 of what Boston was asking for, and he was reluctant to do so. So call or fold, the Giants and the Red Sox will play each other this weekend. Call or fold, Rafael Devers should get a fastball to the ass.
I don't know. How sensitive is the audience?
Well, not sensitive enough that I just said it.
Well, no, I think, like, if I say call, which I'm going to call.
Call.
Yeah, I give him a little friendly fire there. There's at least somebody who's listening that's going to be very, how dare you take that out of the game? You're wanting somebody to get hurt. So, how about I said call, you go on with your life, I'll go on with mine, and we just call it a day, okay? Let's not do a thing about this.
Yeah, I said hit him in the backside. I didn't say aim at his right orbital socket underneath his eye. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
Just a fun little what if. Nobody wants to get
right
hurt.
Right in the back of the numbers. Pong! Just hit him. That would give you a lot of juice, because otherwise, nationally, why the hell is anybody watching Giants versus Red Sox? The last one here. Guess who's back in competitive eating for the hot dog eating contest on July 4th? It's everybody's favorite jerk, Joey Chestnut. Last year, he was banned. To be honest, I don't remember, and I don't care.
He had a sponsor with a vegan.
Yes, Impossible Foods was the sponsor.
Yeah, and so Nathan's was mad that he was publicly eating other hot dogs.
First of all, it's a spectacle. It's a bunch of men eating glizzies on July 4th, and they're dunking it in water. Like, what are we doing? But I've heard a lot of horror stories about Joey Chestnut, including this very airwaves. So call or fold, Joey Chestnut is the biggest jerk in sports.
Jesus. I mean, what are any of these stories?
I'll give you one quick example.
The biggest jerk in sports?
Yeah, I've heard that this guy is an absolute diva. I've met him once. He did not seem friendly whatsoever. But what happened with this particular story is they wanted Joey Chestnut to try out, like, these three hot dogs. And they were like, you know, one was like an Oreo hot dog. Another, they were kind of like weird concoctions. And Joey Chestnut was just like, no, I'm not doing that. And the people
wow,
were like,
how shameful.
Well, the people were like, well, we're not hearing to ask about your views on the Lithuanian basketball team. You know, we want you to eat some hot dogs. It's not that he declined it. It's in the manner of which he declined it, where he very much was diva and then walked out. So, I have reliable sources that I've heard from multiple people that Joey Chestnut is not an actual treasure. And all this guy does is eat. I don't know the big deal. I've never had the appeal about this hot dog contest or any competitive eating whatsoever. But I didn't know how to spin otherwise Joey Chestnut story in here. So call or fold, is he a jerk or not? You tell me.
Not the biggest. That would go to Doug Gottlieb.
Fold. Oh, what a spin by you.
And that is call or fold.
Time to cash out.
He beats me straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
I will say that is the last time I'm talking about Joey Chestnut. Clearly, I'm out of my depth here.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I just don't like him.
Okay. I'm trying to hit a professional tease here. I just saw a stat that if you're a Buffalo Sabres fan, you may quit and try to find a new team based on this one stat alone. And I'll have that coming up. Right now, an update, Marco Belletti.
What a tease.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside. Shout out to the fine folks listening on WGR 550. Sneaky Joe on in the morning. This is from Sneaky Joe Tweets. The players from the 2016-17 Buffalo Sabres that finished with 78 points now have gone on to win a combined 11 Stanley Cups. The Sabres have not made the playoffs since, I want to say, 2014. I'm with you. I became a fan of the Sabres that year. We needed a hockey team. I picked the Sabres after a process of elimination. They made the playoffs, lost to Boston, and that's been it. So what's the curse? I'm the curse. That's the curse. It's me, your friendly neighborhood late night overnight dumbass. Ryan's in Ontario. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Bert. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. So, obviously, the Florida Panthers repeated. So, everyone's blaming Skinner. But at the end of the day, do you think Knobloch's job's on the hook for this? Like, Pete DeBoer got fired?
If you or me, how would you answer that question?
Well, I think he's on the... I think his job is probably on the hook, yeah.
Yeah. Carlos?
I'm sorry. You got to give him one more year. They don't have goalies. Like, Skinner and Pickard, they can be backup goalies. Like, they're neither one of them is supposed to be starters. I would give Knobloch one more year, see what happens. But they got to address who's sitting in front of the net because... both of these guys shown flashes, but they are not long-term goalie starters.
And then Corey Perry's your best player in this playoffs. Connor McDavid only had one goal in this last series.
Well, Leon Draisaitl kept them in a series. Like, if it wasn't for Draisaitl, the Panthers would have had this up in five.
Right.
Is that a good answer?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, Ryan in Ontario. Thank you, Carlos.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Oh, no. The mighty sports talk host has taken a hit.
Let's do that hockey.
Justin's in Toronto. Justin.
Hey, Bart, thanks for taking my call tonight. I'm a little embarrassed to say, but I'm a new listener, but I think you guys have been making some great points tonight about the landscape of sports changing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the other point you made earlier about ad policy and worrying about keeping the Green Bay Packers in Wisconsin. Things aren't the same as when we were sports fans growing up. A lot of this stuff was free or it was on your regular broadcasted channels. And now, like you've mentioned over the years, it's costing thousands of dollars just to be a fan. I don't really think that this is going to work going forward, and I just wanted to say that I think that's maybe what Ed's thinking about capturing the younger audience and maintaining them as they go. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Justin, that's a good take. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, and welcome into the program. I think that so Ed Policy is going to be the new Packers president, and one of the things he says is I want to make sure we keep the Packers in Green Bay. Part of what I didn't get into when I was talking about that was they do try to make sure, like they don't just be the Packers and say, oh, stock sale, we're fine, we'll never move. They're trying to keep themselves financially feasible, and that's why they built the district around the stadium. That's why they have an atrium so that you can go there year round. You can go to Lambeau at any time and do tours, and do the Hall of Fame and eat and shop. They'll take your money if you're willing to go give it to them. And it can be an experience. They do ceremonies and weddings. I got married in this building. They've got a whole thing outside. They've got a hotel and a and like condos that are a part of the whole thing now. And they're doing that to, obviously they're trying to turn a profit, but they're trying to have enough money that they don't get caught in a position where they don't have any money. So it's a constant build, 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 save for the rainy day fund to make sure that they can stay viable. Because, yeah, they've got the stock sale, and that's really an interesting story. It's a great story, actually, unless you're a rival of the team and you think it's stupid just as a way to hide your jealousy about how cool it really is. But they're looking long-term, and they're always trying to think 10, 20, 30 years ahead. And with all this private equity stuff coming into sports now, that's another battle they might have to contend with. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup. Oklahoma City Thunder going for it in the NBA on Thursday. We'll discuss more with you as the night continues. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.